Hare Krishna, I was asked to present the summary of first canto, first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, which we have already covered so far by different speakers covering each of the verse in depth. Now this is just a high level overview. So we have a recap of first chapter before we move on to second chapter today. So we'll start with that. First we'll say prayers to Sri Guru. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुं श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं साकृजातं सहगणरघुनाथं विदं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखाम्बितंश्च श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So this time we have copied the theme of Jai Sahagras Jai Subhadra Mataji. So we'll cover the verses she has already has, which we do before reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. 1.2.4, we'll recite the verse together and I'll read the translation. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswati vyasam tato jayam mudirayet. Before nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayana, unto Naranarayana Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regular attendance in classes on this Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. A loving service unto this personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So, the way I thought of doing is the first three verses, which are like the introduction, invocation, and which is like a beginning to the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, I will just cover that, covering the translation and the Sanskrit of the verse, because pretty much Prabhupada is going to cover the each of the points. Prabhupada went into the purports in depth, so I'll just give an overview of that, so just we can remember the verse, and then we'll go with the flow of the rest of the verses, starting from 4. So first verse talks about, describes the absolute truth. So the absolute truth was defined as, does anybody remember what is the definition of absolute truth? Yeah, that from which everything emanates, and that is different from the definition of God, which is like a supreme controller. So I've put the Sanskrit. I really, really love the Sanskrit of the first three verses. So beautiful. So I just put them also together so I can relish that more now. So first, Srila Vyasadeva offers his obeisances unto Sri Krishna Vasudeva by saying, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And translation is, O my Lord, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Then he says, Janmadi yasya yata. He says, he is the primeval, Krishna, Sri Krishna, he is the primeval cause of all causes of creation, sustenance, destruction of the manifested universes. So here he is saying that Supreme Lord is the cause of all manifestation and of creation, destruction, everything. Then he says, Anvayad itaratas chartesu abhignya. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations. Swarat. But he is independent because there is no cause beyond him. Tene brahma hurdaya adi kavaye. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. And continuing with the rest of the verse. Muhyanti yat suraya tejo vari mridam yata. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion. as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. So even illusion, the source of illusion is also Krishna. So that's what Srila Vyasadeva is saying. Vinimayo yatra trisargo amrusha. So where does the Lord live? Only because of him do the material universes... Okay, this is not the point. Temporarily manifest. So material universes, though they are temporary, they appear to be factual because of the Lord. Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam. So where does the Lord live? Lord is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. So all these points Srila Vyasadeva is describing about Sri Krishna, the absolute truth. Of course, in the first chapter, first verse purport, Srila Prabhupada went into each of these points in depth. So this is just as a summary as we were intended to do. And similarly, for the next verse, 1.1.2 covers about glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. So dharma projita kaitavatra paramo. So Srimad Bhagavatam completely rejects all the religious activities which are materially motivated, and it propounds the highest truth. Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. And who can understand Srimad Bhagavatam? Only devotees who are fully pure in heart can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Vastavam atra vastu shivadam. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, the truth is distinguished from the illusion. So it's very clear what is truth, what is illusion, and for what purpose it is done. For the welfare of all. And what does it do? Tapatrayon mulanam. It uproots the threefold miseries. Continuing with that. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krute. So who compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam? The beautiful Bhagavatam is compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient. It's in itself for God realization. So it's one of the means of God realization. That's what sages are going to lead us at the end of the first chapter. So what is the need of any other scripture? Kim va parair? What is the need of any other scripture? Atra kritibi sushru shibish. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, what will happen? Sadyo hridi avarudyate tat shanat. The Supreme Lord is established within his heart. And Rompad Maharaj, when he gave his class, he says, tat shanat, at once. He says, at once, Supreme Lord is established within the heart of the person who reads the Srimad Bhagavatam submissively and attentively. So 1.1.3 extends open invitation to everyone to taste the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Rasika bhuvi bhavuka, O expert and thoughtful man. Pibata Bhagavatam muhir. Pibata means relish it, Bhagavatam, this Srimad Bhagavatam. Muhir is always. Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam. So what is Srimad Bhagavatam? It's actually the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. So Vedic literatures has so many fruits. Among that, the mature fruit of that is Srimad Bhagavatam. And what happened to that? Who gave this? Sukamukad. It has emanated from the lips of Sri Sukadeva Goswami. Therefore, what happened to that? Amruta drava samyutam rasam alayam. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. So alayam means up to liberation and beyond liberation. Because of it being emanated from Sukadeva Goswami, it has become even more tasteful. And so therefore, this verse is opening up the invitation for all thoughtful men to taste Srimad Bhagavatam. So now we'll cover the rest of the verses, high level flow of the verses. This also divided in multiple slides, just to fit it. So 4 to 11. So this is where actual Srimad Bhagavatam starts. The sages are approaching in the place of Naimisharanya, and they approach Sukadeva Goswami and they ask some questions. So 4 to 5 is about setting the scene of Srimad Bhagavatam. First, what happens is sages, verse number 4, sages headed by Shaunaka assemble at Naimisharanya to perform 1,000-year sacrifice to please the Lord and his devotees. So Naimisharanya is described in the purport as the is a significant place where the hub of the universe can be envisioned, and it's a place where the sacrifices have lot of potency. And verse number 5, sages, actually before we start, I would request all of you, while we go through this flow, to carefully look at the characters in the chapter, like the sages and Suta Goswami. We can actually learn, at the end of the session, we are going to draw some points which we can take home from the example set out by sages and Suta Goswami. So I wanted all of you to follow through and think through like that. So at the end, when we ask some questions, you can also, from your realizations, make up some points about that. So sages, first what they did, they made inquiries with great respect to Srila Suta Goswami. So verses 6 to 8, sages glorify Suta Goswami. This is actually the proper way in order to receive anything. First, we should properly give respect to the speaker, and they started with glorifying Suta Goswami of his exalted position. They say, Suta Goswami, you are free from vice. Vice means it's like the four Prabhupada discussed in his purport. It's the meat eating, no meat eating, illicit sex, and all those four regulative principles. So Suta Goswami is free from all of them. And he has heard the scriptures from proper sources. And not only heard, he has explained them. So they glorify him like that. And then they say, you are well versed in both theistic and all other philosophies. So not only Srimad Bhagavatam, which you have heard from Srila Vyasadeva, you also know all other philosophies. And Prabhupada says that's very important for a speaker so that he can present the philosophies in defiance of other philosophies. Not only just talk about theism, but also say how it defeats the other philosophies. And verse number 8, they say you are a submissive and gentle disciple. So they are... Okay, I don't want to reveal the thing. Okay, so you follow through that, and that gives some points why we want to read this. So they glorify him as a submissive and gentle disciple. And verses 9 to 11, they start asking questions. First two questions by the sages. So first question, what is the ultimate good for people in general? So they are very, very compassionate. So they want to know, they are performing sacrifice for the welfare of others. That's why in the verse 4, they say they are performing 1,000-year sacrifice. Just remember, they have already started it after Kali Yuga. We have known in Satya Yuga, the lifetime is so long, right? So we can imagine sacrifice being 100,000 years and all these processes of so many years. But they are already in Kali Yuga, and they are set out to do 1,000-year sacrifice for the pleasure of the Lord and devotees. We can imagine how compassionate they were at their own cost, or like they are willing to do for us, for all of us. So they are asking, what is the ultimate good for people in general? In verse number 10, they say, now they describe the situation in Kali Yuga. Just to make it like more dramatic for the next question, they say the men in Kali Yuga are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and disturbed. So this is the characteristics of people in Kali Yuga. So can you please tell us, they cannot read the scriptures, all of them. So many are there, they cannot read it. So just tell us the essence of all the scriptures, so many in Kali Yuga also can get benefited and they become satisfied. So next, continuing from 12 to 20, 12, they ask a third question. Why did Sri Krishna appear in the womb of Devaki? There we talked about the point of Vasudeva, where Srila Prabhupada talks about Vasudeva is the transcendental position of pure goodness. And verses 13 to 20 covers a main overall theme, which is they're expressing their eagerness to hear Krishna Katha. So in all these verses, we can see actually how they're showing their eagerness. That's one of the very important quality, to hear Krishna Katha. 13 to 16, they say, they talk about especially increasing the listener's enthusiasm. So first they say, they are very eager to hear about Godhead and His incarnations. So please, we are eager to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and incarnation. And then now they start indirectly glorifying the Supreme Lord. So first they say, even unconscious chanting of the holy name liberates one, and is also something about fear we talked about here. Anybody remembers? It drives away fear of even fear personified. That's even unconscious chanting of the holy name drives away fear of fear personified. And number 15, they indirectly glorify the pure devotees who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And they say that such pure devotees immediately can purify one, whereas Ganges take longer time. Only after prolonged use, Ganges can purify, but pure devotees, they are so empowered by you, the Lord, that they purify one. In verse number 17, they ask the fourth question. Tell us about adventures of the Lord. The Lord performs in his incarnations. So especially in this verse, they are talking about incarnations with respect to creation, which are like the three Vishnus, how the Lord carry out the creation. Verse number 18, they ask the fifth question. Please now tell us about the pastimes of the Lord in his various other incarnations. We want to know about his Leela avatars, like Krishna, Balram, and all Narasimha, all these incarnations, Rama. We want to know about that. Text number 19, they say, one can relish hearing these pastimes again and again. Sada, swadu, swadu, they say. It's like we never tire of hearing Krishna's pastimes. So please tell us. So all this they are building up, you know, like eagerness. It's like they are also eager, and they are also driving us also, the eagerness to hear Krishna Katha. Text number 20, they say, we want to know specifically about the pastimes of Krishna and Balram. So that's the reason we have 10th canto detailing about the pastimes of Sri Krishna. Verses number last section of the verses, 21 to 23. So this is about the actual crux of, which is leading to the process of self-realization. Like, what is the process of self-realization in this age of Kali Yuga? So 21, they say, Kali has already begun. So we want to perform the sacrifice by hearing Krishna Katha. So they are kind of hinting what is the right sacrifice for Kali Yuga. And verse number 22, they say, we accept you as captain of the ship, which is ship is, Prabhupada explains as the scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita, to cross over the ocean of Kali. So there, like, we can actually connect these two points. It's like, first, Kali Yuga is so difficult to overcome, and so many scriptures. Even scriptures, even though we have received, we cannot understand ourselves. So we want a guide. See, if the scriptures are a ship, we want a captain, which is spiritual master. So we accept you as our spiritual master, and please reveal this knowledge to us. Text number 23, they ask the last question. After Krishna's departure, where have religious principles taken shelter? So Krishna left. Along with Krishna, some of the religious principles have already left. So what is the hope of the people in Kali Yuga? Where can they find religious principles? So this is a summary slide which Mataji has already done, which I was trying to do, and by her mercy, I just copied that. So this covers all the verses and the where it is, the questions were asked, all the questions are where it is asked, and the answers also where it is to be found. Especially, I would like to point to the question number 6, where the religious principles have taken shelter. So in 1.3.43, it details that it is in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam has emanated as a sun after the Lord has departed. So that is where we have to take shelter. So they are actually creating the atmosphere for us to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, now here comes the... So what are the main things we can learn from the sages, as well as from Sutta Goswami and the whole flow? What are some of the Rompant Maharaj always says, right, whenever we hear Bhagavatam, especially Bhagavatam, we have to go deep into the characters of Bhagavatam and understand they are actually giving us the culture and the etiquette by which we have to live our lives, so that we can, it's not only just like book knowledge, but we have to imbibe these principles. So the way the sages approach Sutta Goswami and the whole flow, we can learn some things. Can anybody guess what are the things which we can learn? Or what could be the main take home from these chapters? From this chapter.
The special qualities of Sutta Goswami that they say.
Yes, exactly.
Is how he is free from vile, gentle disciples.
Yes.
All of, at least we need to have those qualities to be able to
Yes, very, very wonderful. Yeah, it's a qualification to speak. We'll cover and summarize that in. And any other points? Yes, exactly. The qualification to receive. So what should be the qualification to receive? So as we set out with the Srimad Bhagavatam classes, we should, like after we summarize the points, we can actually go and see through the things. Actually, we see that we lack in all those qualities. We have it takes yet another lifetime to even imbibe part of those qualities. So we'll, I just summarize from all the verses. These I also felt like were repetition, Srila Prabhupada, for emphasis, he repeated them in so many verses all across, qualification to receive, qualification to speak. So I just summarized for your pleasure, and I quoted the verses at the end, so if you want, you can look up and connect them together. So first thing we have seen, all over eagerness. Sages themselves were so eager, please, I want to know about Krishna. So we also, when we come to Srimad Bhagavatam class, we should be very eager, if irrespective of our situation, oh, I want to come, I want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And sincere. So Srila Prabhupada, or Gurujan Prabhu defines sincere as, we discussed in the class which we gave, sincere is no material motive, no ulterior motive. Sincere means just want to hear. We just come just to hear. Not like, oh, I want to be a good hearer, people will admire me, or like, oh, I'll take some points in my information basket so that next time in my class I can tell and show off. All those things are, these are all strings we always bring in. They say that we bring the dirt into the temple room like that. So we should try to be sincere, like we should just come to hear Krishna Katha. And next one is hearing from the right source. So if you see, even if we have eagerness, we see all these qualities build up actually. Even if we may have eagerness, if we are not sincere, we may be seeking something else. So we don't get the right message. So even if we have sincerity and eagerness, if we don't hear from the right source, we don't get the message. So all these things build up actually. And then, main important quality the sages exhibit, they approach Sudha Goswami with respect. In one of the verses it said that they gave a seat with great esteem, seat of Vyasadeva, they gave to Sudha Goswami. So that's a very, very important quality. When I was remembering that His Holiness Rompath Maharaj gave the class, right, of core philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he touched upon this subject also, and then he said that if you don't have respect for the spiritual master or the speaker, then what to speak of respecting peers and juniors? So this is the main fundamental thing. Respecting the spiritual master and speakers if they are senior to us, in everyone. And next quality is Srila Prabhupada. Actually, this is the quality Srila Prabhupada emphasizes in all over the purports. He says we should be submissive. We should have submissive inquiries, not... there is other word Srila Prabhupada says, right? Challenging attitude. Not challenging attitude, submissive. Because we know, at least theoretically, Srimad Bhagavatam talks about glorification of Sri Krishna. And we know, if at all we know, like the speaker is bona fide, then there is no need for challenging and all these things. Just come with an open heart and receive the message. Actually, submissiveness helps us to receive the message through the heart, directly to the heart. Next point Srila Prabhupada emphasizes is that hearing step by step. Like we should go in a chronological order, starting with the verse number 1 and directly, but not jump directly into 10th canto and go into rasa dance directly and things like that. And another point Srila Prabhupada says in one of the purports is that we should follow Sudha Goswami. Sudha Goswami, how he established 10th canto by going step by step. He could have directly told 10th canto, right? But instead of that, he himself went through that. So as listeners, we should also follow him in reading it sequentially. And as Balaram Lila Prabhu said, qualification to speak. This also we can learn from the qualification of Sudha Goswami himself. So in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada says, no material motive. So a person speaking Bhagavatam should not do it just because he wants to, like, let's say, like Bhagavata Sapta and earn money out of it and things like, not like that. Just to glorify Sri Krishna, one should speak. If at all somebody has that motive, then the message will not come through. And as Suta Goswami himself is free from vice, so as speakers or as we are cultivating to become speakers, we should also cultivate this quality of free from no meat eating, illicit sex and all those things which we vow actually so significant. At the time of initiation, we take a vow to not do four things. It's so significant. And then one other quality as a speaker is Goswami. We also see in Nectar of Instruction, right? Which is a verse? Nectar of Instruction? Pacha Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udara Pasta Vegam, Etan Vegam, Yo Visaheda Deva, Sarvam Mithimam, Prithvim Sashishet. So a person who can control the urges to speak and all those urges can become Goswami and he can make disciples all over the world. So that is also, Srila Prabhupada is like putting a high bar. Like last time I remember Balaram Lila Prabhu was saying, like after recent classes I feel like I'm not qualified to sit and speak. I was like looking at these qualities, it's like, are we really a Goswami? Can we control even our speech? Like, oh my God. So we have to, but this gives us like our goal, like where we should strive. And Srimad Bhagavatam trains us by bringing up these characters, whose qualities we can get inspiration from and follow them to gradually imbibe these qualities ourselves. And Srila Prabhupada says in one of the purport, that same purport number 6, that the speaker should be spotless in character. This also we can see it builds up, like at least maybe little bit material motive, no material motive, we can easily try. Free from vice, okay. Goswami, it's very difficult. Spotless in character, wow, it encompasses the whole of our existence, right? It's like, and then the speaker should be well versed in scriptures. So in this actually, Srila Prabhupada says not only Bhagavatam, like Puranas and Vedas, and we also talked in the last verse, in the flow, he also other philosophies. So we can present Srimad Bhagavatam in a complete presentation. And see, this is a wonderful point which carries from the previous qualifications, right? So the sages are glorifying Suta Goswami and they are accepting him as a person whom they can receive from because he himself was a submissive and gentle disciple. So the point is, they are saying because you are a submissive disciple, the knowledge was revealed to you. And thus you are bona fide and we can hear from you. So we can practice this part. We can try to be submissive and gentle disciple so we can also get the knowledge. So eventually we can be qualified to speak. Then they say, another point is that we should stick to the path of predecessor acharyas. So there actually Srila Prabhupada in various purports he says that the speaker should follow the disciplic line of Srila Vyasadeva. Then he says Sukadeva Goswami, Suta Goswami, so many acharyas. And other point Srila Prabhupada says regarding this is that, so by sticking to them, we should also not jump directly to 10th canto, but we should go sequentially and then learn from them. Yeah, this is another theme. So I was thinking actually like after these two things, I was thinking what is the main thing which I can take home from this whole chapter? Like I was thinking what is the main thing which I can apply or like something which stands out throughout the whole chapter? Like trying to go like deeper and deeper, then one thing somehow Krishna inspired me and this stuck me. And then later I realized that actually Rombapad Maharaj, when he gave this class, he talked about this point, which is hearing as an act of compassion, which is what the sages did, right? Like they said, and the verse which stood out, which embodies this principle, is this verse. Knowing well that the age of Kali has already begun, we are assembled here in this holy place to hear at great length the transcendental message of Godhead and in this way perform sacrifice. So this verse stood out. It's like they are so aware that this is age of Kali and we want to help them. So what they did to help others? They just sat and heard Srimad Bhagavatam. And that they are saying that it's the greatest sacrifice. So that hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can also think as an act of compassion. So I was trying to like pull up some points. Like we can right now, we think that we are hearing because, okay, it's my purification, Krishna Katha, my this thing, right? So this takes it even beyond me. It's like for others. How can I hear for others? So I just brought up some points from the verse as well. So the way to, the hearing is also a way to counteract the iron age of Kali. So we should remember that sages, they initially started, like Kali has already begun, so we want to hear. We should remember that actually Kali is already, we are already in Kali, right? So how much more we should take shelter of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam by following the footsteps of sages. Next point is, it's the greatest sacrifice. So here in Shravanam, Kirtanam and all, it's the greatest sacrifice in itself. So I remember one point long time back when I was just beginning in MS Vedic programs. So His Grace Govindacharan Prabhu was there and thankfully he arrived now. So I was remembering after some classes, Prabhu was saying, he was encouraging me and he was saying, thank you for doing this sacrifice. I was thinking, oh, what is the sacrifice? I really love coming to these classes and it's no pain for me. I like this so much. There is no sacrifice. Then I later understood the meaning of sacrifice. What is the meaning of sacrifice? Sacrifice is? That's also there. But the definition of sacrifice is done that which pleases the Lord. That's the real definition of sacrifice. So by hearing, we are pleasing the Lord by demonstrating that we want to approach Him. So it pleases Him, so it's the greatest sacrifice. And hearing is an act of compassion. So I remember when His Holiness Rompad Maharaj came, he talked about this verse. So he said an example, like for example, there were two of Prabhupada's disciples. I didn't remember the exact details, but they were like suddenly thinking after some point, like we have to do something for the movement. So, okay, I have to be Prabhupada's representative, I have to do something to spread this movement. And what they did, they just went and focused on their hearing and chanting for years together, just focused on hearing and chanting. And Maharaj said, after some years, they became so potent. So that's all we need to do right now at this point. If we want to be compassionate, if we want to imbibe the quality of compassion, at this point, right now, we should start hearing and chanting with that intention in mind. They say, right, Amritananda Prabhu always says, it's like beginning with goal in end in mind. Beginning with end in mind. So eventually, if you want to become really compassionate, our demonstration of compassion right now is to sincerely hear and chant. Next, we need to prepare ourselves. So, like I was thinking, right, we have suddenly so many preaching classes are starting and everything. So I was trying to assist Sri Vishakha Mataji in her service. So I'm seeing like so many questions people are asking, right? As if like we are there, as if like we know everything and we're standing there. They ask so many questions like, okay, oh, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, why Lord Rama, like how is it different from Lord Krishna? We didn't even prepare like that. So I was thinking we are not ready actually. Somehow we are just standing there and trying to do. Maybe through that process we'll eventually ourselves go deep and understand the answers. But actually we are not ready. So I felt actually after getting this message, I felt at least Srimad Bhagavatam, I should read it so nicely. Every verse going with the flow, with the speakers, everything. So that at least Srimad Bhagavatam I can tell I have like read properly. So I wanted to share this. So all of you may also be inspired to follow the flow of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's a preparation for ourselves. And I remember this point. Radha Krishna Prabhu, His Grace Radha Krishna Prabhu, I sent him an email recently asking about that Vasudeva question. So in addressing to me, he wrote this. He wrote, my dear Shyamala Mataji, and then he wrote this. I pray that you and your husband are in blissful Krishna consciousness and doing the best you can for the propagation of the movement. I was shocked. Okay, what am I doing? What am I doing to propagate this movement? I am sitting in one corner. Who knows me? And I'm not in like front line, right? So what I felt after going through the summary, at that time, I was like, okay, I didn't understand. After this got revealed to me, I was thinking, wow, so at least Prabhu is saying, you think like that. What are you going to do after some years to propagate this movement? What is your role? So then I thought, okay, at least now I should hear and chant properly. So eventually maybe I can be some qualified representative. And the next point is determination out of love. So I remember this thing Navkishori Mataji shared with me once. She heard from Sachinandan Maharaj's lecture, which is called Determination Out of Love. Very, very inspirational lecture, where Maharaj talks about that we have, like, we do so, we have been given this process and hearing, chanting, holy name and so many things, right? But sometimes we go into that our comfort zones, and many times we give excuses to ourselves, oh, yesterday I slept late, why will I get up tomorrow? And so many excuses we give ourselves not to push ourselves, not to get out of our comfort zone. So this point helps us actually, that the determination out of love that our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada has given us this wonderful gift. Out for them, as reciprocation for the gift I have received, let me try. It for myself, actually, I tried this many times. Sometimes, initially when I started coming to Mangalarti, it was like tough to change the schedule and get up early and all. So it was like, especially getting up in the early bed, we'll be thinking, ah, oh, five more minutes. So I used to think like that, and remember somehow, immediately I remember my spiritual master, and okay, no, for him I should do. At least for him, he will be pleased. I know he will be pleased. Let me do. And somehow I felt that strength comes. So, like, we may find it difficult among all the services to read Srimad Bhagavatam or chant and do so many things, but we should remember this. That connection, that's, they will give the strength. So Prahlad Maharaj also exhibited this compassion. Like he says that he was not satisfied. He was pure. He is so happy himself. But he says, I am concerned about others. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. For whatever I stay, wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in the thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans to for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. So in one of the lectures, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj says that actually Prabhupada embodies this quality of compassion of Prahlad Maharaj. Like he was also so, he could have been so satisfied in Vrindavan. At that age, at the elderly age, he could have been so satisfied, okay, my life is perfect. He was so happy in Krishna consciousness, right? But at that elderly age, he took the journey all the way in Jaladuta and he suffered 3 heart attacks. For what? For all of us. To give this thing to all of us. If Prabhupada wouldn't have come, where will all of us be? So we should somehow try to cultivate this quality of compassion by practicing ourselves strictly, so that eventually that quality can manifest and we can also share this good fortune with others and assist Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual masters in their service. Because in that verse it says, Sakshat Daritvena, they say that spiritual master is the most confidential servitor. Why is called, what is the most confidential service? We covered in the verse we discussed. The most confidential service is in delivering the conditioned souls back home, back to Godhead. So in assisting them in that service, we will also actually be qualified to eventually go back to Godhead. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai.